If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. So only a few days left before Illinois decides whether it wants to live or not. The Republican primary for governor will decide if there be a candidate with knowledge and passion and expertise to take on J.B. Pritzker, or whether or not some hack will get in there and fall flat on his face as Pritzker wants. To hash all this out, we'll be talking to Dan Proft, the conservative host of Chicago's Morning Answer. Even though I'm older than him, I consider him a mentor. The guy I listened to when I was in the hospital suffering this stroke, listening to him comment on the race, I thought, why not have him on our show, on our podcast? And he's a natural for the Chicago Way. Jeff Carlin is here, executive producer, WGN Radio. And so am I, John Cass, straight from the hospital bed, recovering from a stroke, back in therapy, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And where are you? As Ted Dabrowski offers answers and Darren Bailey and J.B. Pritzker offer you a disaster, you're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As promised, my good friend, the guiding light of broadcast analysis, the conservative commentator, Dan Proft of The Morning Answer. Good morning, Dan. Welcome.
Good morning. That was an introduction worthy of Michael Buffer. Thank you.
Good morning, Dan. Never a dull moment in Illinois politics, eh?
Well, there have been a lot of dull moments, but with, a few a few days before an election, things pick up in intensity a little bit. So, yeah.
Sure.
Let's talk about this because we might as well just jump into it both feet. Darren Bailey is trying to present the argument that he's a true conservative. And if you criticize him, you're against the people of Southern Illinois. And therefore, I guess you're not a real Republican. But it's my view that Ted Dabrowski is the candidate who should be there because you don't win the election, the governorship, without suburban votes in Chicago. And he can't do it. You tried to get him through, but he just can't do it. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just me saying that. I posted this thing over the weekend that Bailey took umbrage at, which is fine. But it's pretty straightforward. I mean, he got blown out 4 years ago, despite really a consolidated party support behind him, $50 million in conservative backed funding. And he just proved himself to be a tone-deaf gaffe machine. People don't maybe remember, but I mean, he came out of the primary, and that was a June primary back in 2022. And there was the terrible, horrific 4th of July shooting in Highland Park. And his first response after all those people were killed was, you know, we need to, you know, sort of, people need to get over it. We need to move on. And then, of course, he had to apologize for that. And on the trail, he compared abortion to the Holocaust. And then he had to sort of walk that back in. And he just sort of was listless. And even, and I was, you know, running a pack, independent expenditure pack, that supported him with like $35 million in marketing, but uncoordinated. So I couldn't talk to him and I didn't. But I mean, you would think like, the messaging that I'm doing would provide you instruction in terms of what path to follow, you know,
right.
Do your version of what I'm doing. So the whole is greater than the sum of the parts here in terms of our combined efforts, but he couldn't do that. I mean, there were issues throughout the campaign that had great resonance that hurt Pritzker, the Safety Act being top among them, but also, he was trying to middle the school choice issue because he knew that could hurt him. And he was, and he had to commit to, you know, not trying to graduate the state income tax again because that hurt him. But Bailey couldn't carry any of those messages. So he just proved that he was unable to appeal in basically suburban cook in the collars, Chicagoland, where 60% of the general electorate resides. And so that's why nobody is interested in his candidacy this time around, except him and, you know, a few of his loyal bandmates. And so that's all we're saying. I mean, to repeat, he lost by 33 points in suburban Cook and decisively in every collar county, including DuPage, Kane, and McHenry, where Rahner won in 2018. Rahner won in 2018 when Rahner had basically given up on the race, when he got blown up by 15 points in his own right, and he still outperformed Bailey in suburban Cook and the collars by more than 120,000 votes, and he won three of those key collar counties. Bailey, so Bailey has proven that he does not have the political ability, and he doesn't have the good sense to try to pivot in any substantive way because he's not really an original thinker. He's a guy that likes to wave flags and tell everybody how conservative he is rather than do the hard work of advancing the conservative reform flag. And so he's a non-starter, which is why he has no support among those GOP donors that backed him last time, among the conservative grassroots leaders that backed him last time, among state legislators and party poobahs that backed him last time. And Ted has consolidated most of that, yeah. Dabrowski. And so that's all I'm saying. And his fallback position is, oh, that's, you know, Chicago elitists and they're conspiring to prevent me from winning. And they don't like Southern Illinois. And this is a North versus South, you know, blood feud. It's all a bunch of nonsense. It's a con.
I know two things to be true. One is that subscribers to John Cass News have access to a good cup of common sense. And to go with that cup of common sense is the perfect cup of coffee. Gribby Coffee. It's never bitter, air-roasted, and customized. It's the best coffee around. GribbyCoffee.com. That's K-R-I-B-I-Coffee.com. If you're near Forest Park or Oak Park, be sure to stop by one of the Cribby cafes where you can order ahead and earn points on the easy-to-use Cribby Coffee app. Yeah, there's an app. The Cribby Coffee app makes it easy to get your favorite air-roasted coffee faster than ever. Earn points on every purchase toward free drinks and freshly roasted coffee. Customize your order, pay with Google Pay or Apple Pay, and skip a line. Your daily coffee just got a whole lot smoother. Of course, if you can't make it to the cafe, you can always order your favorite air-roasted coffee sent directly to your door. My favorite is the Mount Oku from Cameroon. You pick the beans, you customize the roast and the grind, and they send it right to your door. Want Cribby Roast delivered on your schedule? Subscribe to save 15% on your first order and 10% on every refill. Did I mention they offer K-Cups too? Gribby Coffee. GribbyCoffee.com. That's K-R-I-B-I-Coffee.com. Proud sponsor of Jodcast News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing. Their family has your family covered.
I think it boiled over when you dared comment on the great filmmaker, Jim Varney, who I didn't know who it was until just a few minutes ago. And to me, it sounds like you were basically condemning Hee-Haw.
No.
And that would get him very upset.
Yeah, so no. What I said was... You know, they're basically, Bailey is just living off residual name ID, the $50 million he got in 2022. And he's just living off that. He's just a bobber in the water going whichever way the current pulls him. But unfortunately, with, you know, a lot less money raised in this primary campaign, even by historical standards, you know, it's a lot of ground to make up for a first time candidate like Ted. And so what I said is, you know, his voters, you know, basically are in two camps. One, people that are not intellectually curious enough, Republican primary voters, not intellectually curious enough to actually investigate the race. So they just go with the name they've heard of.
Yeah.
Right. And two, people who would be baffled by the plot twists in a Jim Varney movie. And I'm talking about people that just are terrible at connecting dots. And there's a lot of Republicans that are terrible at connecting dots that are always surprised even when they do the same thing and it generates the same result. But it wasn't geographical. He tried to make it a regional thing. As I posted subsequently, is a Bailey voter in Cook County distinguishable from a Bailey voter in Crawford County? No, they are both clueless. So it's not, it's about a psychographic, not a demographic, but for a huckster like Bailey, he doesn't understand that nuance. He just wants to make it this north south thing, and it's bull jive.
But you know what in the media will do. The chief combine reporter of the Chicago Tribune, Rick Pearson, will condemn you from, you know, how dare you mock the Southern Illinois people that he mocks himself every day. And I don't know.
You know, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, obviously I have more in common with people in Jackson County than I do with people in DuPage County where I grew up, because it's not about your zip code. It's about your it's about your values and shared interests. So obviously, I'm much more aligned with, generally speaking, the people of Southern Illinois who are more conservative. It has nothing to do with that. In point of fact, I just thought about this this morning, but before I joined you guys, which is so funny, because when I ran for governor in 2020, the one newspaper that actually endorsed me was the Belleville News Democrat, which is now, I think, by circulation, the largest daily newspaper in Southern Illinois. But anyway, so it's just all not, you know, so Rick Pearson or Darren Bailey or any other flim-flammer, whatever, I mean, it just doesn't hold up under any scrutiny. It's just a pathetic cover for general incompetence. That's what it is.
General. The idiocy of kind of Bailey's argument here is that you are counseling Ted because he's paying for your services and therefore you shouldn't be trusted, which is what he did last time, which is, it's not really, obviously you guys weren't interacted, but there it's essentially
you carried him
essentially. And as you point out, everything Bailey talks about or tries to, you know, hone in on is all stuff that Ted's done the groundwork for, done the math for, done the, been there in, you know, on the west side of Chicago investigating what's really going on and actually in the places where the money is being spent and, you know, needs to be scrutinized. It's just so daft of him to think that if he can, you know, oh, I'm gonna just alienate everybody, and you know, there's nothing there. What is his end game here, do you think, Dan? I mean, I felt last time around it was maybe to win. Is I thought he might have had a shot at it, but this time it feels like it's just entirely name, just to keep his name out there floating, bobbing along in the waters, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, so a couple things. One is, yeah, the I mean, this is all petty and venal stuff, but
yeah,
right.
Which
so
is why we're on it. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Yes.
But
the parallels from 2022. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I ran a super PAC. I got paid for it because I'm not putting in the kind of time and effort and creative work that I do without getting paid. So I make no apologies for being paid to do political consulting work, and I make full disclosure. Everybody who listens to me or wanted to find out, I've said innumerable times that I'm working for Ted, just like I worked on behalf of Darren Bailey 4 years ago. This is different. I'm directly with the campaign. Last time was a PAC, but I got paid then. I got paid now. Darren Bailey was fine with it 4 years ago. Now he's not fine with it. Gee, I wonder what the difference is.
Yeah.
So that's all just silliness. And that's just, you know, like, cheap smear tactics.
But you know what's not silly? My concern about the Republican electorate. They seem to waffle between Bailey might be good to the bejeweled Heidner, for God's sake. I remember listening to your show when I was at Shirley Ryan in the hospital bed, and there was Rick Heidner. We were talking about him as the bejeweled Rick Heidner, and I thought, man, another combine guy trying to buffalo the electorate, and yeah, he's apparently done so. Where does the race stand right now?
Yeah, I'm not worried about Heidner. I am worried that he may suffer the same fate as the character in I'm Gonna Get You Sucker that died from OG over gold.
Was that the sequel to White Chicks?
No. I'm Gonna Get You Sucker is a standalone classic.
Yeah.
Keenan Ivory Wayne's name. But I mean, I watched the Fox Chicago roundtable with him and Dabrowski and Mendrick. And I mean, I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, all he needs is a candelabra in front of him. The guy had more jewelry on than Liberace.
He could give Jimmy DeLeo a run for his money.
I mean, you know, he's one of those guys, as you well know in Chicago politics, John, who is a caricature of himself.
So, How you doing?
Yeah.
And it, like Allie G, yeah. Although Allie G is beyond character.
For the uninitiated, where's his origin story?
He was a real estate developer, and I don't exactly know how he got into the gambling business, but obviously where he made his money, and it was touch and go for a while, as I understand it, where he made his money is with Gold Rush Gaming and video gambling turning the, you know, West Central Cook County suburbs and other places into these dystopian gambling dens. it's so predatory. That's a separate issue. But I mean, Heidner doesn't know anything about politics or policy. That's obvious if you have watched any of the roundtable discussions with the other candidates. He's just repeating some of the words. I don't know what his motivation is. It's a weird candidacy. He hasn't spent nearly the money that he was rumored to commit. He hasn't really, the media
because he doesn't have it.
No, he has it personally.
Oh, okay.
He has it personally, but he hasn't spent it. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's some, you know, conspiracy theories out there about whose interests he may actually be serving, long term his own, of course, but maybe short term other people. I don't know, but he's irrelevant. This race right now, with a little more than a week to go as we're talking, just the question is, can Dabrowski generate enough awareness and essentially hard name ID, people that have enough of a fully formed opinion about him to be comfortable to overcome what Bailey came into the race with? That's really the dynamic. And I think Ted has spent I think Ted has been gaining ground as people tune into the race, and people mm-hmm. see these things late, but does he have enough to get home in the allotted time? I don't know. I think it's probably going to be close.
I think he appeals directly to the disaffected suburbanite who wonders what happened to their state, and they're not ready to leave yet, and they might want to stay. If he wins, maybe they'll stay. Maybe Illinois has a chance. If he does not, and Pritzker laughs like a jolly fellow of mirth, then there is no Illinois anymore.
Well, let me suggest something on that. Please. Because in response to the argument, it doesn't matter because whoever wins is going to lose. It actually does matter.
It does matter.
Yeah, of course it matters. And I know you get that, but it matters for this reason. Do you, because political, as Ed Fulmer used to like to say, political victories and defeats are temporary. So it matters what trajectory you're on. Are you on the upswing, or are you on the downswing, or have you hit bottom and you're digging in the case of the Illinois Republican Party? And that's what we'd be doing with Darren Bailey. You wouldn't just be conceding defeat by nominating. You would essentially be conceding any dignity you have as a partisan and a party by nominating him. And so it can get worse. It can always get worse. It can also get better. And so even if you had Ted win the primary and he loses a hard-fought, credible race to Pritzker, at least this go around, you don't have somebody that has given up and was a Judas to his own party, like Bruce Rauner in 2018, and somebody that just could not hear the music, and still can't hear the music, like Darren Bailey in 2022. At least you have somebody who is professional, thoughtful, articulate, makes cases, doesn't just take positions, an explainer. And he's somebody that people are going to say, that's a credible person. Maybe I'm so anti-Trump, I can't see through to voting for any Republican. That could happen. But he's a credible person. He will show the party well. He will not be an albatross around down ballot candidates like Darren Bailey would be. And he, whatever happens in a potential general election, he is going to provide something for the party to build on. And so that's not nothing. We've been in the wilderness for a long time. To get it all back in one fell swoop is not going to happen. That's, I think, an upset against Pritzker is possible because I think he's overreached on so many issues and he's already looking at the presidency and he's not focused on the state, and the state's mm-hmm. in disrepair. And most people think it's on the wrong track. So there's opportunity there. But the point is to say it does matter what kind of the team you put on the field always matters. The way you play the game always matters because it's building for the next thing, whether you win or lose.
You think that Ted's appeal comes from the logic side, or do you think that people are just waking up to realizing that numbers really mean something, or is it just that bad that it's, there's no other option here?
I think there's a couple of things. I think, there's certainly a fatalism within Republican ranks in Illinois that you're fighting against. But Ted it's just a learning process, especially as a first time candidate, to try mm-hmm. to go from being the policy wonk that has, that does a 35-minute presentation to communicating in the world of politics where you have to be pointed and succinct, and you're not trying to, anticipate every counter argument and try to address it. You're just trying to make your point and try to drive it. I think that's been a learning process for Ted, as it would be any candidate. So there's no question. And he would be the first one to say that, he would be the first one to agree with what I just said, and also say, there's plenty I still have to do in terms of improving the quality and the force with which I communicate, particularly in an environment that is as strident as the one we're in. So
whatever do you mean, Dan?
There's definitely something to that. It's the old Adlai Stevenson story. I've probably told on this show before because it's just such a great one. When, and this is on the other side, but it has general applicability, where he gets off the stage after speaking before a big labor rally when he was running for Senate, or maybe it was when he was running as vice presidential candidate. And anyway, he says, the staffer says to him, that was good, but you could be a little bit more forceful, a little bit more direct. You could add a little bit more, red meat there. And he says to the staffer, he says, well, my candidacy is for the intelligent voter. And his staffer said to him, yeah, well, that's not going to be enough.
Yes.
So, there's something to that you have to pierce a very crowded, landscape and make sure people are paying attention to what you have to say and grabbing their attention enough that they start to dig and find out more about you and get comfort level with
it. If Ted Dabrowski hears from me, if Ted Dabrowski gets through this primary as a winner, he will become the next governor.
Wow. Huh? Prediction.
I see. I've only been covering politics for 50 years, and I've seen these combine hacks come and go, but Ted is not one of them. And I offer humbly Jean-Luc Picard in the movie about the Borg. That's the soliloquy where he says, enough is enough. This is the line. We don't capitulate anymore. Because the people of Illinois have been broken and driven, like me, out of our homes. And somebody has to say enough. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, thank you for elevating the conversation. I brought Jim Varney to the table. You brought Patrick Stewart to the table. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I got to put that on my bingo card. Dan, that was kind of my question is that since you were involved in polling and you see a lot of this stuff much more than I do firsthand, is the electorate getting smarter at all? I mean, I feel like there's so much information out there. There's so much easy to get information. And you kind of, you were very pointed in your fact that, are they going to do the research? And I'm sure that is either coming out of angst against what you're working against, or is there any hope there?
I don't think it's like an intelligence problem, generally speaking. I think it's a belief issue. The topic or the aspect that we were talking about earlier, just in terms of the fatalism. And you see it in the responses to stuff I post or other people post about, effectively it doesn't matter. All hope is law, abandon hope. All you enter here, that kind of. We're in Dante's.
That's been going on for so long.
Yeah, man. Right. Well, there's a lot of scar tissue that's been built up, and then people continuing to parrot it doesn't inspire any more optimism than it was previously there. So I think that's the biggest issue. They haven't been galvanized by somebody, and this is what you see even at the federal level, where you have a significant segment of the Trump vote, for example, that comes out for Trump, but is much more reticent to come out for anybody not named Trump down ballot, even in their own community. And it's really frustrating. It's understandable to some extent, but it's frustrating. And part of my point in the post that got under Bailey's skin, which is fine because that was sort of the point, is, part of it is just, can we just have, like, let's talk to each other like adult men and women. I mean, come on. You want us to do better. Why don't you do better? Mm-hmm. Why don't you pay a little bit more attention? You can, everybody can devote a little bit of bandwidth to the future of their neighborhood, town, county, state, country. It's not that much to ask over the course of a long campaign to actually tune in at some point and get a handle on what's going on, what the choices are, and what the implications are for the choice that you make. It's just not too much to ask, and I'm just not going to be one of those politicians who's always pandering and complimenting and and, you know, shining on the electorate. Say, yeah, you know, everybody is doing their darn well best and everybody's a civic standard bearer and all things are equal. It's not true. So, you know, you want better, then you need to participate, you know, a little bit more fulsomely to get better. I mean, it's just that simple. And so, you know, voters need to be challenged just like politicians do.
What about talk show hosts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, nobody is above reproach. I say that all the time. Like, put some pressure on people peer to peer. Come after.
Is he going to show up on your show? You've invited him for Monday.
Yeah.
If he doesn't show up, I'll be rather disappointed.
Oh, he's not going to. I'm sure he won't show up. I hope he does. I'm sure he won't. Although he had no problem showing up on my show routinely when I was booking him 4 years ago, right? I mean, so this is what I'm talking about. It's just, it's so low rent. It's so dismal. It's so feeble. And it should be described how it is.
Well, I do have another question. And this was asked by my managing editor, my wife, Betty Cass, who says, notes that one of the commercials that Jeff Carlin produced for me is the one where I mentioned Dan Proft writes columns occasionally for John Cass News. And she said, and I think she's right, when will Dan write another column so that I don't feel like I'm a liar to my constituents or my readers?
Well, you know, occasionally gives me a lot of latitude.
Lawyered.
Yeah.
Put your lawyer's hat on, though.
Yes, yeah. Right. No, I'll do a column here in advance of the big March 17th primary election and add some more grist for the mill on that topic.
You're more than welcome. You know where to reach me. I'm standing right here.
Yes. Yes. Or more importantly, I know how to communicate with the managing editor. Yes.
Absolutely. Dan, before we let you go, what are you reading? I know you're always got your head in something.
Oh, what am I reading right now? I just finished finally, and it was over an extended period of time. This campaign work has sort of distracted my attention from more scholarly pursuits, as you might say. But I just finished Victor Davis Hanson's Dying Citizen.
Yeah, appropriate, Dan.
Yes, right. Well, yeah, tis the season, right? Yes.
Rather appropriate, especially, you know, you think of the obligations of citizenship and how, I guess, the Randy Weingarten and her friends in the teachers unions have not carried that forward to the new generations to teach them about obligations of citizenship. And the great institutions like the old Chicago Tribune, which supported civic education, are no longer involved. So I don't know where we learn it from.
I got a question for you, Cass, on that, since you brought up the Tribune.
Yes, sir.
And you too, Carlin, since you're part of this, you know, you're part of this empire. You, Carlin, and Cass and Carlin.
When we drop to the last names, I get edgy. Okay, go.
The Tribune not endorsing in the Republican primary. I mean, it's not that the endorsement means very much anymore, but it's just like they don't have the stones to examine a race for governor of the state of Illinois and decide who the challenger to the incumbent should be in their view and make a case. I thought that was bizarre.
As a 40-year or 50-year veteran of the Chicago Tribune that had to endure all the crap from lefty whiners like Eric Zorn and so forth, I find the Tribune's decision not to endorse in the Republican race, they're not doing their job. It's really embarrassing to see a newspaper fail on such a massive scale like this. They're afraid. There's a couple things going on. One is the management is trying to appease the lefties inside the tent. And the other is Pritzker's money has bought him favor, I believe, in my opinion, with people at the Trib. And then thirdly, they have no way, no recourse but to back off and avoid it, lest they get stink on themselves. Yes?
Absolutely. It doesn't surprise me in the least. You know, I live in the city, right on the alley, right off of a main drag, and they're always catching people alley, and they always have that dumb look on their face. That's what the Tribune editorial board looks like right now. It's because they don't want this to ever come up that they've endorsed anybody in the Republican race now anymore. It's come so far that they don't want to be even in the same search thread that says Tribune endorsed Bailey or Tribune endorsed whoever, because they know then they have to say, well, don't you work for the Tribune? Oh yeah, but you know, we have to, and then they have to try to explain themselves, and then they lose points in the, you know, the PC Olympics. And
But didn't they endorse in legislative races?
So that's never going to come back to anybody, because none of those people mean anything to anybody, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Right, yeah. I mean, those are just roll call.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they endorse this cycle in legislative races? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't really know either. That's also a commentary.
Right, there you go.
How do you pass up Juliana Stratton? I mean, that's their natural candidate now. F you to Trump and so forth. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I know the great vanguard protecting the civility of our discourse. I didn't see the Tribune or Chicago media or Dem politicians being queried about the Stratton FU ad, because that's real highbrow. That's real classy, right?
That's just the thing that that Rick Pearson would have be apoplectic about in the old days. Now he yawns. Mm-hmm.
No. They go low, we go lower. No, wait.
Yeah. They go low, we kick them in the nuts. Isn't that what Michelle Obama or Eric Holder or somebody said?
Now they have that building on the lakefront.
Just drove by yesterday.
The Obama building, the Obama library. It is the ugliest. I can't wait for, they should get a big head of Morlocks. A big Morlock head and a horn to shout to the people of Chicago that it's time for them to come in and be rendered.
It does. It looks like, you know, something out of like like Lord of the Rings. You know, so the Sauron's castle or something.
It really does. It really does. It looks so like a bad piece of like costume jewelry. You're like, wait, what was the attempt here? This is not right.
They need an animatronic. Did I get that right, guys?
Yeah.
Animatronic, difficult for my brain injury. They need an animatronic James Comey and a John Brennan to welcome everyone into the Hall of Whispers.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say one of those cuckoo clocks at the top with them coming out and hitting the bell, but I like yours better.
I could see like I'm just looking at it now because this is a good spitballing session.
thanks, Dan.
What's from Game of Thrones? The Hall of Two Faces.
Right. You know,
that seems appropriate.
Very much. Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. The girl has no face. Yeah.
It's either that or it looks like a big tombstone marking the death of Illinois.
Well, since the Pritzkers are directly responsible for that monstrosity, I think that the governor and Penny should take a bow.
Yeah, it really does not accentuate the beauty of the lakefront, does it now? You know, I got something else to workshop with you guys, if you'll.
Yeah, of course. Right?
So here's how a friend of mine from Chicago, you know, lived here all his life, successful business guy. Here's how he characterized Chicago. And I'm going to clean this up even for a podcast.
Oh, thanks.
See if you like this metaphor or simile, actually. Chicago is like a beautiful woman with a terrible feminine hygiene problem. How do you like that?
Oh gosh! Because why you are?
Well, I'm not going to develop if you don't if it doesn't draw a visceral reaction.
Yeah, my rule on jokes and metaphors and similes, if you have to explain it, I think you missed the mark. But I understand what you're saying there, Dan. I'm actually more enjoying the color of my own mind, how it was originally told.
Yes, you can imagine.
That was the fun in that one. Well, it's still our town. Well, at least my town. I know you guys do your best to try to save it on a daily basis.
We're dealing with the diaspora, Jeff. We're trying to keep the people from Northwest Indiana and Naples, Florida, interested in what happens in Illinois, because they're victims. They have stayed, and they're the victims now. And it's sad, because it's a great state with great people.
Well, we'll find out if we're going to strike a blow for sanity or not. That's what elections are for. Are we ready to strike a blow for sanity yet? We're going to find out again in March.
Yeah.
Mark my words, Patrick Stewart is his name,
yes.
Jean-Luc Picard. When he shouts, "This ends here," when he's given his soliloquy about fighting the Borg, I want to see that commercial with Ted giving the soliloquy.
All right. As long as Ted has the con after the primary, we can.
There you go. Good luck. Good luck, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of your Sunday.
For broadcaster, conservative broadcaster, and my role model, Dan Proft, host of The Morning Answer on WIND. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio. And for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of common sense. Join us again next time, won't you? On another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.